First Chronicles chapter 12, verses 32 and 33. And I shall read. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, they were not of double heart. The Lord bless the reading of His word.
Greetings to you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And praise God for the privilege of being back here with you once again. We do commit our beloved pastor and our beloved principal of the Far Eastern Bible College to the Lord. And we praise God that he was up at the church camp with us. And it is good to see so many smiling faces, some faces we have known since 1994. And I give thanks daily for the opportunity that God gave me to study at such a Bible college as the Far Eastern Bible College, and for True Life Church being the mother of the Far Eastern Bible College. The Far Eastern Bible College is a beacon that shines forth in the darkness of this perverse and wicked generation that we live in. And may we continue to pray for the Far Eastern Bible College. The camp we just had was a blessed camp. To see the families with their children, to see so many children there, to know of a number of these dear children confessing their sin before God and confessing Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. What a blessing. These will be our future leaders. And I say our because True Life Church is my mother church. And I praise God for our beloved principal. And I give thanks as well for answered prayer. My prayer after going back to Australia was that I could somehow continue to study. And then came through the material from the Far Eastern Bible College of the in-ministry degree training program. And so by God's grace, I registered as a student again. And so my requirement is to come up here for 2 weeks each year, which was just 4 weeks ago. And what an absolutely blessed time. For we cannot continue to give out all the time without taking in. And what a blessing to come up amongst brethren again. How we give thanks even for the church that has been established in Perth as a result of the ministry of the Far Eastern Bible College, and for the people we have in the congregation. Just very briefly, we are a multinational. We are a multinational church. We're Australian based, but we are multinational. We are not multicultural, because we cannot bring all cultures into church, because lots of things in our various cultures that don't belong in the church. So we are multinational, Australian-based. We have people from all different walks of life, all different countries. And we praise God. Even for the students that we do have, the university students, we reach out in the universities. And we praise God for the salvation of souls that we see, of students who come down from Singapore, who come from various countries around the world, from Indonesia, from Hong Kong, Korea, all around the place. We give thanks to the Lord and for the salvation of souls that we're seeing to send back to faithful BP churches. Interesting, isn't it? How we give thanks to the Lord even for that. We give thanks as well for those of you who have been to encourage us, who pray for us, and we give thanks as well for His goodness in the work that He is doing. For those in Singapore and other countries and other places around the world, pastors who more and more are recommending people to come and fellowship with us. When you walk into our service, it's exactly the same. We are reformed, we are separate, it's exactly the same. There's nothing that's really different other than the venue. And how we praise God for the faithfulness of true lifers. Today we're going to look at the subject of men of courage. And I pray that we be able to always accept the challenges that God puts before us. For I praise God for the lecturers at the Far Eastern Bible College who almost broke us. Every time we walk into a lesson, they challenge us about the Word of God would challenge us about something else that we had done wrong, that we were doing wrong. And then we're able to repent. Please understand, if we do confess and repent of our sins, God is able and just to forgive. March on. And if somebody has committed a sin and they have sought God's forgiveness of it, do not hold that against them. We don't have the right. That's the work of the devil. Men of courage. I'd like you to please turn to the verses we just read from 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 and 33. And we see here just some aspects which are important for us to understand as we look at men of courage. Let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for thy goodness to us. We give thanks, Lord, for the ministry that thou hast ordained here and for thy goodness to the people. We give thanks for our beloved pastor, and we do pray for strength for him even at this time. We give thanks for the years of faithfulness, for those who have seen him go through the trials and the tribulations in life, for those who have seen him broken and have stood alongside to encourage this man of God. We give thanks for the men of courage who were there to walk alongside and who are still there to walk alongside. May we be challenged today, even of that which we ought to be doing. We do confess our sin before thee, knowing that thou art a God who is able and just to forgive. And pray, Lord, that we be a people who go from here today, even from the camp, with a renewed zeal to love thee, a renewed zeal to press on, and maybe leave some of those things that we've been holding on to, that are baggage which are holding us down and stopping us from walking the walk that we ought to with the courage and strength that we ought to have. We do repent, Lord, of those times when we feared. May we be strengthened. We do pray as well for our dear brother Elder Mahadevan. We pray for thy healing hand upon him. We pray, Lord, that he will look to thee during this time, that his family as well be comforted. And we do pray for those in our midst who may have a bodily affliction that is a burden to them. Lord, we pray that they will look to thee. We as well pray, Lord, that their trust may be in thee, that they may know thee. We pray for thy healing hand upon them, but for thy will to be done in their lives. For those who are burdened today with whatever burden, a relationship problem, Lord, we pray for them that their trust may continue to be in thee. And Lord, that these difficulties we experience will be put at the foot of thy cross. And Lord, that we'll focus on thee and not be drawn into thoughts of that which is external to us. May we not be drawn into the thoughts of that which we need to do today or tomorrow or throughout this coming week or to the period beyond. I pray, Lord, that if we are going through financial burdens, that every necessity be met. That if we be going through a trial in our life and we don't understand how to deal with it, that we may seek out thy word. And Lord, I pray that whatever difficulty we may be experiencing, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is, Lord, that our trust will be in thee and that we look to thee for our answers and not trust in the people of the world. We commit these things to thee and pray as we continue to search out thy word, that thy name be glorified. So we commit these things to thee. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we look at 1 Chronicles, today we're looking at men of courage. Men of courage. There is often a misplaced zeal by people in the ministry, people who are doing their work for God and not doing God's work. There are no rewards in heaven for doing our work for God. But for doing God's work, yes, there is. And we have to understand that this life that we are living is temporal. Praise God for the salvation of souls over these last few days, and even for brethren in our midst who have had parents who have come to the Lord in these last few days as well. For there will be rejoicing in heaven amidst the angels over the souls that are saved. Oh, what glory that is. We give thanks as well for the trials we go through. Pray that we not be a people who ask God for trials because we're going to get enough anyway if we stand firm. Praise God for the stance of those in our midst who have had the courage to defend God's word. For today, there are not so many people who will defend God's word. They twist the interpretation of earnestly contending for the faith to say it is just to do with salvation. The Apostle Paul declared not, he shunned not, to declare the whole gospel unto the people, so that the people understood the whole gospel and not just one little part of it. The battle rages on. Today we're going to look at the characteristics of the army of David. And now please understand, there is only ever one interpretation, but there are a multiple. There are many applications that can be made. And so as we look at David's army today, it is good for each one of us to understand our position before God and how we actually weigh up to these characteristics that of the men who were in God, in David's army. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, 32 and 33, we see a few aspects. And what are they? The aspects of the children of Issachar were that they were men that had understanding of the times. Not just understanding of the times, but understanding of the times to know that which Israel needed to do. And not just that, when they went forth to battle, they were expert in war with all the instruments of war. They knew who God was. Now remember King David, before he was king, when he was a young man, there was that man whose name was Goliath, who was chiding the children of Israel, who had the courage to go forth. Where were all the soldiers? Where were the men that should have had the courage to go? Many of them would have been there. And David came forth like an unhewn stone. It was not cut, it was not polished. He just went forward. But what did he have with him that was polished? 5 stones. Why? Well, he knew that as this man was challenging his God, that he would stand firm. He knew that he could take this man out. He knew, because he was expert in that which he did. And he knew that he could take him out with 1 stone. And that the other 4 stones were for who? For his brothers, if they tried to take David on. And he would take them out 1 at a time as well. A man of courage. A man who stood for God and said, is there not a cause? Yet everybody else stood around and mocked this young man. Let us not be a people who mock those who will stand and contend for the faith, who have the courage to do it, who are fearless in standing for God. Now, we look at these aspects. What are they? Men who had understanding of the times, to know that which Israel ought to do. They went forth to battle. They were expert in war and with all instruments of war as well. And what did they do? They kept rank. Most of you here will have been through national service. You know what it is to keep rank. You know what it is to contend, to stand together. We praise God for the Singapore fighter pilots that we have in our congregation as well. They're down there training at the Pierce Air Base, and we have the privilege of having them in our congregation. Now, they, as fighter pilots, you know, have to be a people who watch one another's back. We praise God for the time that young Len was down there with us many years ago. But the keeping of rank, most of you, although you may not have been in the Air Force, will have been in national service. And you have to watch out one for another. You have to keep that which is orderly. To keep rank and not be double-hearted. We're going to look at that shortly. Double-hearted, double-tongued. Double-hearted basically means a heart and a heart. Two hearts. Two hearts not better than one. Two minds are not better than one because they think differently. Yes, we're talking about in the same person. May we be a people who understand that which God has ordained, even in this battle, this spiritual battle, this spiritual warfare that we go through. This battle is not flesh and blood as the war of David. This is spiritual. And praise God for those of you who are praying for your leaders. May you continue to uphold them from wherever they come from. Even those who are leaders in faithful churches around the world, pray for them. For the battle is fierce, and may we persevere and be strengthened in the Lord. Now, just before we look at the rest of these aspects, and we'll come back to these shortly, let us understand why David was setting about with this army. Well, King Saul had lost his life. Why did King Saul lose his life? Because God slew him. Why did God slay Saul? Why did he? Because the people wanted a king. They operated as a theocracy before. God led them all. And all of a sudden the people want a king because the neighbors had a king. They wanted somebody who was tall, somebody who was handsome, somebody who could lead them. And Samuel warned them, you have a king, you're going to have problems. And they sure had problems. And in the end, Saul did that which he wanted to do, King Saul. He went to the witch of Endor. He continued to walk in disobedience. And God used an instrument made by humans for him to fall upon. For he was shot by the enemy's archers. And he looked to his armor bearer and said, take my life. The armor bearer was not that stupid. Because he knew if he'd taken King Saul's life, then his life would have been taken as well. But you see the consequence of sin. I want you to please understand the consequence of sin, which we looked at a little up at the church camp. The sinfulness of sin. That which he was hiding in his heart affected a lot of people. It did not just affect him. It affected his army. And they lost because he arrogantly went ahead and did not listen to God. He sought out the witch of Endor, whom he should have put to death. And God did slay him. But not only did Saul lose his life, his sons lost their lives as well because of the sins of the father. And we see that Saul fell on his sword. His armor bearer fell on his sword. That means taking your own life. That is against the word of God. You see the consequences. The army all suffered. Saul's sons suffered as well. But there was one whom Abner had declared as the king. And when he declared this son as a king, David sort of had the respect because he had the respect for Saul. And it was his son. We know that Abner is the one who did proclaim Ishbosheth as king. King for 2 years and much turmoil. But then David was just doing that which God wanted him to do. He was just remaining silent until the time came. Until the time came that God then would promote him. And who did the promotion? Well, it came from the tribe of Judah. They are the ones that put David forward as the king. because the other 11 tribes were not supportive of him. Then came the time when they realized that David was the leader, as God had ordained that time. Well, Ishbosheth was murdered. And so David then came forth as the king. And as he came forth as a king, his headquarters was established in Hebron. We know that Hebron is a place throughout the scriptures which shows us a great deal of history. It was a place which was established as a city of refuge. It is the place where Abraham had his name changed, the covenantal name from Abram to Abraham came to pass. It was a place also where the angels did appear even to Abraham and mentioned that he would bear seed. And the seed would be from even, would be his seed. It was the headquarters of David. It was the place as well that the 12 spies went to. Remember that the majority, when it comes to a situation, are not always correct. There were 12 spies that went into the promised land. 10 of them came back and said to the people, "We can't go in there. There are too many of them. They will be too powerful for us." But there were two who were faithful, in Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb and Joshua did stand and try to convince the people. Two people who were right. History often shows that the minority who stand firm are shown to be wrong at the time because the majority has its view, but are proved right as time goes on. Caleb and Joshua were so right, and they ended up going into the promised land. Joshua actually led them in. But please remember, when he did lead them in, there were a few who didn't have much courage. There were two tribes who originally said, "We're not going in. We have this land that's on the Transjordan, the other side of the Jordan River, the east side of the Jordan River, which was lush for their livestock. And they wanted to stay there." And so when it was put to Moses, Moses was furious. And they were requested to go back and rethink. How could the children of Israel go into battle and Reuben and Gad stay behind? And then the half-tribe of Manasseh saying, "We're going to stay behind as well." Moses was furious. They went back and they thought about it and came back and said, "Okay, Moses, new proposal. We will go in with you if we can build our cities now, if we can leave our livestock here, leave our women and children here. We will go into battle with you." But you see, to start off with, they didn't show much courage. You know, it's like those of us who we see the leader going into battle, and all of a sudden we think, "Wow, you know, what we're doing in the world is okay. Let's let them fight for their own territory." God had promised them that the promised land. They just had to go and claim it. As Christians, God has promised us the victory. We just have to claim it and stand firm and be obedient to God. Are we a people who are like the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh? "Leaders, you go in. You do the fighting. We'll stay back and take the blessings and the benefits once you've done it." Well, let us not be a people like that. And in the end, remember, Joshua sent the spies across. The two spies had to swim the swollen river. And in the end, by faith, when they came back, God instructed Joshua as to what to do. Remember, Moses did not go into the promised land. He saw it. He wanted to. He asked several times. But God forbade him. And so as the children of Israel went forth, as soon as the priests who were carrying the ark set foot in the Jordan River, it was overflowing. It parted, the water stopped. The water stopped and they were able to go through. Who went through first? the tribe, the men, the army from the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They then developed the courage to go through in front, to get across the other side and to set themselves in position so that the rest could come through. If you are sitting here and you have been a person who has watched those who contend for the faith and stood back and said, let them be. Let them be and we'll see what happens to them. Don't be like that. Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh were like that as well. And in the end, God had it that they go through and they pave the way. Because remember, they made the treaty and they said, they mentioned to Moses that yes, they would. So Moses got the leaders together. The treaty was not something that was signed. It was all the leaders actually hearing. So the leaders came forth and they all heard the proposal that Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh would go in and help take the land. God had promised it to them. So why were they fearing? Sometimes we fear because we think, whoa, this is beyond us. Why is it beyond us? We have the victory. And when God sends us people to stand alongside, let's stand alongside them. Let's have the courage to do it. Let us not be a double-minded people. And so anyway, Moses then established between all of the leaders that very, very famous verse. And he was basically saying to them, if you don't go in, be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, I'm not going to be here to see whether you do or not, because he knew that the Lord was going to take him. But all the leaders then would hold them responsible. Be sure your sin will find you out. If you are people who don't have the courage to stand alongside your leaders, be sure your sin will find you out. So as we see the headquarters of David set up, we then see the throughout the scriptures, those things which are important for us to understand. I'd like you to please turn back in your scriptures to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 to start off with and verse 1. And we're going to look at some of these characteristics of the army that went, that David had, that was established even to defend even the country and the people. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 1. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron. Hebron, the place we were just speaking about. Saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. We are thy bone and thy flesh. As Christians, we are all one. No matter where we come from. By the grace of God, we are flying to Cambodia after church this afternoon, lecturing across there for the week. But the first time I went across there, I asked the people who were gathered, do we have the same blood in our veins? And you know, a lot of them were a little afraid. They were a little afraid just to say anything. But there were about a half a dozen ladies sitting at the back, and there was about 150 people there. And about six ladies put up their hands to say, yes, we have the same blood in our veins. And we do. We do. It is our doctors will verify this, confirm this, or later give a correction of it. But the blood type in a baby in the womb is developed around about the 3 to 4 week period. The blood type. Please understand, the blood does not come from, it's not that the baby does not have the same blood as the mother. Otherwise, we'd all have exactly the same blood type. The blood, the baby gets the nourishment from the mother, but the blood type develops within that first month or so of the child being conceived in the mother's womb. Do we have the same blood in our veins? Yes, we do. Can we have a blood transfusion from animals? Because there are those people who say that we came from animals. No, we cannot. Why? Because it would kill us. So if we came from animals then, if we evolved from animals, when did the blood type finish? We can't. But you see, we all have the same blood in our veins, different types, but the same blood. We can have blood transfusions unless there are those of us who have the special group, and some of us do. And that's why in Singapore we have to have an identification card on us to say that we are of that very rare group. Everybody can have ours, but we cannot have everybody's, otherwise it'll cause problems. But that's only to do with blood grouping. Jesus Christ was crucified. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins, as we have the same blood in our veins. So are we saved through the same blood, no matter where we come from. We are not necessarily of the same skin toning, but we are bone and flesh. We are spiritually in the Lord as one. You see, they were bone and flesh in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 3. The word of God says, "Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king, to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them." So we see the same bone and flesh. They're a covenant-making people. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 10, we have again the word of God saying, "These also are the chief of mighty men whom David had who strengthened themselves." They were mighty men. We see in that they were helpers of the war in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1. "Now these are they which came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of war." These men were the helpers of war. Are we as Christians walking alongside those who are leading us into the spiritual battle? Are we? Are we mighty men of valor? Let's continue to go through the characteristics, and I'd like you to please turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 18. "Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, 'Thine are we, David, and on thy side.'" Are we on the Lord's side? Are we on the side of those who are pressing forward, contending for the faith which was once earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints? Then we continue on and see that we know that they were bone and flesh, they were covenant making, they were mighty men, they were helpers of the war. And we see in verse 2, so 1 Chronicles 12 verse 2, just like to show you one aspect that's there. Back to 12 verse 2, "They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow." They were ambidextrous. They could use both hands. Are we skillful in the Word of God? Or do we just leave the reading of the Word of God to those who are our leaders? You see, these were the armies. This was all the men who had these characteristics. I pray that as we study God's word here briefly today, as we go from here, that we will pray about applying these aspects, these characteristics, even to our lives. We know that 12:18, they were on David's side. We know that they were valiant men, and we see this in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 21. We see it in 12, verse 25, they were mighty men. They were valiant men in 11:26. They were mighty men again, mighty of valor in 1 Chronicles 12:28. Men, mighty men of valor. And then we get to our verses, our key verses today, verse 32 and 33. "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times." Praise God for those men in our midst who have an understanding of the times, who, when false teaching comes out, are able to clearly delineate it. For the rest of us who may not be so quick at delineating those things, how we give thanks for the men who are understanding of the times that God has given us. Praise God for, as was mentioned earlier on, for being a reformed church and a separated church. Separated from the nonsense of the world. Separated from the new evangelicals and the liberals and the modernists. Separated to stand upon the purity of God's word and the perfectness of God's word. Men of courage, men of valor, mighty men, men who are understanding. Verse 33, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, expert in the knowledge of the things of God, even as it applies to us. This is a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, mentioned verses 10 through 18, mentions of the spiritual warfare armor that we can put on. We need to be putting this on daily. There's a story. There's a story of two policemen in America. True story. One was a Christian, one was not. When they went out to the call that they had, they were both shot. The Christian lived and the non-Christian didn't live. Why? Because a Christian was a Christian? No. Because the Christian had been trained. Trained to do what? To put on the armor of God. So you're saying, Pastor, that we just pray to put on this armor of God each day and we'll have all this protection? Well, this is how this one works out. Both policemen shot, one dead, one not. One full of blood, the other down on the ground but survived. Why? Because they were both supplied with bulletproof vests. The Christian put his on, as we put the spiritual armor on, and we should each day. When was the last time we put the spiritual armor on? Well, okay, you don't have to answer. Now we understand why we get battered so much. You see, the arrow pierced the armor of King Saul. It just pierced the armor, and sometimes chinks in our armor. The only difference between these two policemen was they both issued with bulletproof vests and one put on and the other didn't. This battle that we have is a spiritual battle. Let us understand it. Expert in war. Men who kept rank, as we see in 33, and not a people who were double-hearted. The double heart, the double tongue. A heart and a heart. Let us not be a people who have double loyalties. Sometimes loyalty to this group and to that group. Well, because we then can keep peace with everybody. You cannot keep peace doing that. You can only serve one master. Friends here, friends there. So stay in between. You stay in between, you're going to lose in the end. God wants men who are mighty of valor. Men who will stand for him. Who have double loyalties, but have one loyalty. Who are single-hearted, who are single-minded, double-tongued. You know, we know that generally the two sins of men are what? The two sins of men are lust and pride. Men, lust and pride. Ladies, what is it? It's actually the tongue. And anxiety, which is worry. These are generally the two sins, okay? Two sins. It may not apply in every case, but they're just generally the two sins. We have to be very cautious of the things we say. Two tongues. One tongue, one tongue. Okay? We only have one. As our beloved pastor always says, one tongue, two ears. Hear twice, speak once. Listen more than you speak. Have we been faithful to God? Do we weigh up to these things which God has mentioned in his word? Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they did change, but it took them some rebuking to change. May our hearts be rebuked today. May we know where we stand. Are we single-minded for God? If we are not, there will be problems. So firstly, we looked at the headquarters. We looked at the consequences of Saul's downfall. We looked at the headquarters of David. We looked at the characteristics of David's army. We will also very briefly look at the courage in overcoming deceit. Please remember that after the first battle of Jericho, Joshua was told that they would take these cities. He knew, and as Christians we know that we have the victory in Jesus Christ, but sometimes we act as a defeated people, and we let the things of the world consume our mind. We become a little bit kiasu in the world. We want. And like from God as well, we want. Give $10, but want 50 back. We want. God will give the increase. But sometimes we just want from God all the time. But do we give to God as we ought? In our faithfulness? Are we double-tongued? Are we double-minded? Are we double-hearted? Well, when Joshua, the army was heading up to the town that's called Ai, not so many of the soldiers went up there because they thought, well, not so many people there, we should be able to take this one. And they lost. The people got hurt. Why did the people get hurt? Because there was no prayer. They went to battle and there was no prayer. And one of the groupings of people there, under the family name of Achan, took that which they ought not to have taken, and the people lost. Joshua then went down on his face. And this is a paraphrase now. God said, stop praying, get up, and deal with the sin in the camp. Got up, dealt with the sin in the camp. Sin does not, and I do encourage you, I do challenge you, if you are in a deep-seated sin, a secret sin that nobody knows of, it'll hurt not just you. It'll hurt other people as well. So what happened when they found that Achan and his family had stolen that which they ought not to have in the garment and the rest of that which they stole? Achan, come forward. Bring your family. Bring your animals. Stoned the whole lot to death. Sin. It does not just affect one person. If we're a people who have sin in our heart and deep-seated sin, we're not going to be able to serve God. We'll allow it for everybody else to do and say that we can't do it. The armies that are here mentioned have the characteristics of those people who could go forward and had the courage to do it. We know that with Nehemiah, when he was rebuilding the wall, his burden was to go back and rebuild the wall. The enemy wanted to stop him. They had to build the wall with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. Sword and a trowel. Heard about it? That's what was happening. The enemy wanted to stop them from rebuilding the wall. Sanballat's the man who sent out false accusations. Ever seen people who stand for the Lord and have false accusations put against them? And then in the end, when the job is almost completed, then they say, come meet us in some town and let us talk. Let us get together. Well, this is the deceit even of mankind. What does the name Sanballat mean? And please understand, as you are naming your children, look at the meaning of the words because it's important. Nabal, foolish. Jezebel, not good. I'm sorry if anybody's called their daughter Jezebel, but you've got to think of these things before we name, because it can have tragic consequences for them as they go along. What does Sanballat mean? Hatred in secret. That's what it means. And he was trying to, after the work was nearly completed, to join hands with them so he could go in and then destroy the Jews. You please understand this. As this work is being established, as there is being a stance taken, there may be those who come in who have blood on their hands. And if they do, they have no right to be in a pulpit lowering the spiritual standard that God has established. They'll come in and say, let us talk. Let me pray. Let me preach from your pulpit. Let us be friends. Deceit in secret. What did they do? Well, this guy Sanballat just wanted to get in to destroy the work that had been done. But Nehemiah continued to pray. He prayed to God. They worked with one mind. They worked with one heart. They worked consistently. They didn't stop. They encouraged one another. They pressed on. They trust God. They had the mind to work. They had the heart to pray. And they had the eye to watch the enemy as well. Our beloved academic dean of the Bible College this morning was mentioning about 1 John. He said, "Why do I repeat myself sometimes?" He said, "Because I have a good teacher in John." Because 1 John, there's a number of things that are repeated. The reason for repeating is for emphasis, that we may understand. Sometimes we hear things and think, "Don't want to hear that again." Have we really understood what we're saying we don't want to hear again? Do we really understand it? Could we teach it? You see, there's a difference between saying, "Yes, I know, I hear, I understand," and then getting up to teach it. That's different. Let us be a people who pray one for another. P-R-A-Y, one for another, not P-R-E-Y. God has established and ordained a ministry here which is precious. And you have to be a people who guard the pulpit and guard the fellowship that is had. Otherwise, it's not going to be precious for long, and neither will the Far Eastern Bible College. The missionaries that have been sent out throughout the world from the Far Eastern Bible College, amazing. The hundreds of thousands of lives that have been influenced and affected, incredible. Because of the Bible College and the leading of our and faithfulness of our beloved pastor, it allowed many of us who are alumni and students again at the college to be here, to go back to minister to our people. Because of the training we've had here, our people tend not to like the Word of God so much. If it's a charismatic show where all the drums are beating and everything's going, yes, they love that. But the truth of God's Word, and you have it here, which is precious, I pray that you understand it. Sanballat tried to put the accusations forward, tried to have the meeting, sent five times people to get Nehemiah to come and meet with him. May the leaders be challenged this day. May you understand, even as Joshua said, be strong and of good courage. Trust in God. The challenge to the leaders. Word of God, the Apostle Paul said to his beloved spiritual son, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." So the warning here is, do not lay hands on the leaders too quickly, because if they have a deep-seated sin that you haven't picked up yet, and it comes out later on, then you're the one that's responsible. The Word of God in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18, has something which is very precious for us. And I'd like to just turn to Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. And the Word of God there exhorts us as to what to do if there is a person who is walking in sin. Walking in sin. The Word of God in Ezekiel 3:18 says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." If you know somebody, if the leaders know somebody who is walking in a deep-seated sin, whether it be another leader or a pastor or whoever, somebody who has blood on their hands and we don't want to deal with, Word of God says here that you'll be held responsible as well as them. And so there is a great burden upon the leaders to do that which is right before God, to preserve the pulpit, to preserve the church, and praise God for those who continue to contend even for the faith. What does God want with the leaders as we do draw to a conclusion? God wants them to preach the word of God, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. God wants men to have courage and to exercise church discipline, and for the leaders to have a good testimony in the church and in the community as well. For God wants as well men who are on his side, who are prepared to stand and protect the church from sin, to protect the church from harm, and to especially prepare the people for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we look to the cross in all things. May we understand that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the remission of our sins. Do we do any tracting in our communities and beyond? Do we witness for the Lord as we ought? Men, I do encourage you. I do encourage you today to look to the Lord, to trust him, and to, just as you go along, use the time that you can to serve God while you can, to stand alongside those who are walking in front, because they can be battered and bruised. They are human beings. They have sensitivities. You may not see the tears that they shed, but they will shed them. They have a love for you. Their desire for doing that which is right in God's eyes is to protect you and to help you. I pray that you will respect and honor that which God has before you. Men of courage to restrain sin, courage in correcting that which is erring, even in the membership. But Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe always used to teach us that preventive medicine is the best. And he has taught us to warn from the pulpit, to teach things from the pulpit, even the hard things. Even the hard things. You know, when we exercise church discipline, it hurts. We lost half our congregation because of dealing with church discipline. Would we do it again? Of course we would. When the half the congregation left, who came back? The one that was disciplined was the only one that came back. Everybody else stayed away. You see, so sin does affect more than just one person. But for those of you who have wandered from the Lord, I pray that the Lord will just bring you gently back to him. Gently back to him. You see, there's those things that have to be dealt with hardly and seriously and harshly. Others not so. If you're hurting, trust God. Place your trust in him. Walk alongside the men of courage. And when you've got the strength to do it, because that is what God requires. For the time will come when people have itching ears and will turn their ears away from the truth, even unto fables. There are crowns in heaven for each one who believes in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Crowns for righteousness, crowns of glory, incorruptible crowns, those for testimony and suffering, those for reaching out, even the salvation of souls, those for teaching. We have an opportunity to serve God. Each one of us should seek out an area which we can serve, not just come to church. When the time comes, if you've just been coming to church and the time comes that you do a little more than that, you look back and think, Lord, I lost those years that the locusts ate out. And yeah, we all go through that. I do encourage you to look to the Lord and to pray for those who are who are walking in obedience and leading you. May the Lord strengthen you, and please understand that God wants men of courage. Let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for thy goodness to us. And Lord, we do confess our sin before thee. We give thanks even that Joshua reminded us to be strong and of good courage. And he continually did that. Lord, we give thanks for the Far Eastern Bible College, which has been established. And we give thanks for True Life Church, which is the mother church. even of the Far Eastern Bible College. We give thanks for our beloved principal and pastor. We pray for strength for him. And Lord, that each one of us will trust in thee and press on serving thee. Lord, we give thanks that we can be a people who stand for that which is right, having the courage to do so. I pray, Lord, if we have been double-minded, that we repent. And Lord, we do ask for forgiveness. If we have been double-tongued, that we repent. And we give thanks that thou will forgive us. If we have been double-minded, if our loyalties have been divided, I pray that this day we will have the courage to press on, to love thee, to reach out and invite people even along to this fellowship. I pray that we be men and women of good courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.